Good morning. Thank you for having me. The title for my message is A New Thing, and it's certainly a new thing that's happening with me today. Whew. Okay. Can I please add my appreciation to all the women, young and old and in between? I want to take a moment to bless you. So ladies, can you please close your eyes? Oh, already starting. Close your eyes for just 1 minute, ladies. And I want you to hear the words from your Heavenly Father. From Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in my image. From Ephesians 2, you are unique. You are my workmanship. You are my work of art, and I am revealing my mind and my heart to all humanity through you. And from Isaiah 43, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Beautiful girls, beautiful teens and women, I bless you to receive the gift of love that our Heavenly Father has for you. I bless the soil of your hearts. I bless the soil of your hearts to be turned over, renewed and restored. So that Jesus can grow and flourish and thrive in you. I bless you to become all that he has for you, in Jesus' name. We have sign of the week. This morning, Kirsten?
Yes, we do. We have Lisa who is coming to show us the sign of the week. Okay, come back to the okay, so this week's sign is new. Okay, so we have our hand and we scrape backwards. Now, I'm just going to use Lisa, right?
Okay, so are you up to date with your health checks, your annual skin check, the dentist? Those of us who wear glasses, have you been getting those reminder texts or emails about your next appointment? Then there's our annual blood tests that we all should be getting to make sure we're in tip-top shape and doing the right things, making the right health choices. Women, are you up to date with your pap smears and your breast screens? And if you're over a certain age, ladies and gents, there's your osteoporosis, your bowel, diabetes, and prostate check. Are all these checks beneficial for us? Yeah. So if we know these checks are good for us and could potentially save our lives, then why do we put them off? Perhaps we're time poor. I haven't got time to go to the doctor and get my blood test. I work full time. I have a family and people who depend on me. I just don't have time. Or maybe fear. Perhaps fear of needles, fear of getting bad results, or fear of feeling embarrassed or uncomfortable. Or maybe, I feel fine. I don't need to. Surely if there was something wrong, I would know, right? As an example, I've been putting off getting a skin check for years. I've quite happily sent my husband off many times because sunscreen's not his favourite thing. But for some reason, I've put off going myself. Why? Because I'm fine. I wear sunscreen and it's not a priority for me. I don't really have time anyway, and it's uncomfortable having to take my clothes off in front of someone. And if I'm honest, I don't want somebody to tell me that there's something wrong and I might need to deal with that. A couple of weeks ago, I attended a professional development afternoon with my school, and the focus was on self-care. And to get through the year, we need to look after ourselves first. The speaker used the analogy that the airlines use with their safety talks, that they stress how important it is in emergency that when the oxygen mask drops down, you need to put it on yourself first before you can look after others. He strongly encouraged us to put some healthy goals into place for our own self-care. And I committed to making my skincare check appointment, which I did the very next day. I had my skincare check last week. It's all good. But I now have a sense of relief. I know where I'm at. Whether it's good or bad results, knowing the truth about a situation can lead to early intervention, treatment, and healing. In the same way, when we open up to our God's truth, we are able to receive His healing. God loves us way too much to leave us as we are. Our passage today is Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. In the past, through the prophet Isaiah, God warned his chosen people, the nation of Israel, that he was going to punish them for their unfaithfulness. But through these verses, God is saying that they are to forget the past. They are not to dwell on it because he is doing a new thing. He is including them in his future plans. God's people had a choice to make. They could stay in their past and dwell on what has been, or they could choose to move forward into what God was now doing. Do not dwell on the past. By grace, God was doing a new thing through Jesus Christ. It became less about law and more about grace. Ephesians 2:4-6 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Lost my place. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now it springs up." Strong's Concordance says, "Spring is to bud forth, make to grow again, cause to spring forth." Do you not perceive it? Will you know it in your heart? Will you not enter into it and embrace the fullness of what that means? Jeremiah 31:34. "No longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." To embrace our new life in Christ, we need to understand what it means to surrender our old life. our old ways. And this requires change. And change can be challenging, uncomfortable. And do we really need to do it? But we need to stop putting off what we know is right, what we know is good for us. What is it that stops us from experiencing a deeper and fuller relationship with Jesus? Perhaps we don't have time. We don't make time. We might be afraid. It's hard to face our flaws and make changes. Or we're fine. We don't want to change. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Strong's Concordance explains streams figuratively as prosperity, flood, river. We were walking in spiritual wilderness. We were spiritually dry, but through God's grace and sacrifice of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, he made a way for us. God wants to remove the things that have built up in our lives, the things that we hold on to, and prevent his streams of living water, his Holy Spirit, from flowing within us. He wants the floodgates to open so that our relationship with him will deepen. We will prosper. We will thrive. We need to prepare the soil of our hearts, just like a gardener needs to prepare the soil of their garden beds if they want quality, thriving plants. Now, I love my garden. Are there any other garden nerds out there? Please raise your hand. No. It's one of my happy places where I'm just able to be. And my mind actually zones out and my focus is all on my garden and I'm lost in the beauty of God's creation. My gardener heart is full when I look back on what I've achieved after I've spent a few hours pottering around. Gardening just seems to last longer than housework. But when we talk about the quality of my soil that my plants grow in, this is something that has taken me years to finally take on board and appreciate. People comment on how nice my garden is. There's a few shots of screens that will go up. It's green and it looks okay from a distance when I've spent some quality time in there. There's one more. There's a lot. Okay, these are my prize dahlias. Oh, no, go back. These are my prize dahlias. Thank you, Kelly Thompson, for giving me the bulbs to plant. But yeah, it's not like one of these lush green gardens where you go, wow, somebody's really invested a lot of time and probably money in this. So I was at my favourite Waldex nursery one day looking at all the pretty plants that I probably didn't need. And I was asking the Waldex guy about a particular plant that I had that wasn't thriving. And it turns out that it was getting too much sun. He suggested another plant that I already have. And I said, yeah, I have a bit of that, but it's just there. It looks okay, but it never looks lush. So then he asked me, so what are you putting in your soil? And I said, sea salt. And he said, right, so you have WA sand. I said, yep, and sea salt. He said, oh, okay, but that's just like taking a vitamin. That's actually not improving your soil. Then I proudly told him that I have mulch as well. And he said, okay, so that's even worse. You have sand and mulch. So the water has to penetrate the mulch first to get into the sand to get down to the roots. At this point, I'm feeling like a fake gardener. What do I know? I just like plants. I just love them and they're pretty. I just want to water them and feed them and watch them grow. I don't want to have to spend heaps of time and money doing all that hard stuff that I've ignored for so long. I think he could see what I was thinking, and he was very kind to me, and he asked me if I wanted some help. He said he could talk me through how to slowly improve my soil so that my plants would have a better chance of thriving. So instead of rolling my eyes, I bravely said, "Yes, please." And this is how God used my experience to speak to me about what he wants for his relationship with me. You see, the Weldex guy explained that I would need to grab a pitchfork, start pitchforking each garden bed to loosen things up and provide some air and space. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that will take me forever, and I have like 8 garden beds, so this is not fun. Then he said, once you've done that, you need to get a good wetting agent so that the water is drawn down into the soil. You sprinkle that over the garden bed, and then you need to add a good fertilizer that will start to improve your soil. I'm feeling totally overwhelmed at this point at the thought of all the physical time and money that I'd have to invest. Then, he said, you'll need to get a hose. Put it onto jet stream and high pressure, spray it into the garden bed so that you're helping to push the wetting agent and the fertilizer through the mulch down the sand towards the roots. Now, I've mentioned that I've known that I've needed to improve my soil, but it is such an overwhelming task, and I've pushed it back for years, and my garden has suffered to some extent. I've definitely used a lot more water than I should. But on the surface, I basically have a nice garden. I do work at it, pruning, weeding, seesawing. It's not like I don't put effort into my garden, but I could be doing more that will improve the quality of my soil, that will help my garden thrive, and in turn, help me feel encouraged. You see, the garden bed is me. I'm okay on the surface. I love God. I go to church, I pray, I read God's word, I serve the church, and I try to live my life for God. I have a desire to be a better person. Like my garden beds, I look okay on the surface. But when you look a little closer, further down, you'll see there's some holes in the leaves, some brown edges, and not so green parts. These represent my imperfections, my old ways, my dry, dead parts. God is saying to me, he wants more for me. He doesn't want me to just be doing okay. He wants me to go deeper. He wants me to open up the floodgates of my heart and my mind so that I can flourish through him. To be able to have a lush garden bed and to open up to a deeper relationship with the Lord, the pitchfork needs to come out. Psalm 139:23 to 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I like the message version as well. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. I think we've all had that piece of fruit that has looked fine on the outside, but then you cut into it. Yeah, it's rotten. Or we've had an uncomfortable experience in the doctor's surgery that we know is good for us. Or perhaps we've really messed up with our friend or parent or our spouse and we know we must confess that we were wrong. Of course, that's never happened for me in my marriage. It can be uncomfortable, humbling, opening up to the Lord about the things in us that we know or sometimes don't even realize need work. But in my experience, the Lord never bombards me with all the things. Because that would destroy me, literally. He gently reveals to me one thing at a time that I need to work on. He doesn't shame me or condemn me. He's kind. I feel the conviction in a certain area in my life, and it can be painful to see. Just like the pitchfork that opens the soil to receive the air, water, and fertilizer, so my heart is opened up before the Lord to receive His healing and His love. It's by His Spirit that He does His work in us. Psalm 16:13 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." Richard Foster states in his book, Celebration of Discipline, that God desires to have a kind of inner fellowship that transforms our inner personality. He says, "We cannot burn the eternal flame of the inner sanctuary and remain the same, for the divine fire will consume everything that is impure. Our ever-present teacher will always be leading us into righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Everything that is foreign to His way, we will have to let go." No, not have to, but want to. For our desires and aspirations will be more and more conformed to His way. Increasingly, everything within us will swing like a needle to the pole star of the Spirit. The wedding agent and the fertilizer represent my prayer life, my time in the Word, and my time in His presence. I can pray before I go to sleep, and when I wake up, I can spend 15 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes just resting in His peace, and that's okay. I still have a relationship with the Lord. I am still His, and He still loves me unconditionally because His love is not based on what I do. It's not about what we do for Him. It's what He's done for us that motivates us to worship Him, to want to read His Word and spend time in His presence, to be more like Him. Psalm 1:2-3. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. God delights in us. He loves to communicate with us. And one of the ways He does that is through us meditating on His Word. It's one way we can pick up our pitchfork and allow Him to speak into our lives. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's work, God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. William Penn notes, "True godliness does not turn men out of the world, but enables them to live better in it and excites their endeavours to mend it." God wants us to open up to Him, to forget the past, and to receive the gift of His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Are you willing to pick up the pitchfork? To step out and open your heart to Him? To expose the dry and dead parts and receive the new thing that God has for you in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we don't have it all together. We have brown leaves and old dead parts in us that we need to be cut back so that we can begin to experience new green shoots of growth. Investigate our lives, O God. Find out everything about us. Cross, examine, and test us. Get a clear picture of what we're all about. See for yourself whether we've done anything wrong. Then guide us on the road to eternal life. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.